Oh, crap.
The moment when it hits the fan. I'm Meredith Hartley.
I'm Frank Hutchison.
And you're listening to Oh Crap, the Crisis Management Podcast, helping you survive your Oh Crap moments in business and in life. Brought to you by Me Squared. You can learn more at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. Hi, everyone. We're talking today about balancing risk while moving forward with your business and why going faster is more likely to cause a crisis than pacing yourself. Now, we just had a big, real snowfall here in Spokane. It's the first one this winter.
Yes, which is important for us because right now we are being told we may be entering a moderate drought.
Which is a big thing in an ag area.
Yes.
But whenever we were driving to a meeting the other day, and it was going about 35 miles per hour on the interstate, mm-hmm. which makes sense because people do not drive well, and it's a fast road, and every year we have people sliding left and right. When I got home from the meeting, I went on Facebook, and I saw several of my friends complaining about how slow everyone was driving. Now, I've been driving in the snow for years. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm a very accomplished snow driver, and I was having trouble in the snow, barely going that 35 miles an hour. But they were complaining, saying, hey, I can easily speed 55 miles per hour. Why can't these other wusses? Come on, people, this is ridiculous.
And driving in snow requires a different skill set than driving in dry or night conditions. The biggest difference is that snow compacts, melts, and refreezes, causing ice to form on the roads. And with ice, you have the loss of traction, which means that the steering and stopping are not always under your control.
Right. It doesn't matter how good of a driver you are, because you can still hit an icy patch and slide off. And that was what frustrated me about these Facebook statuses, is they kept saying, oh, come on, people, you should be able to drive better than that. Which, there's an assumption there that skill is the only thing that makes you safe in the snow. That skill and confidence will keep you from having an accident. And they all seem to have the same five reasons. We were talking about this. We actually sat down and identified the five reasons that people think they can drive at or above the speed limit in the snow.
It's because, one, they have an SUV. Or two, they have four-wheel drive, or they have superior skill, or they're in a hurry, or they believe bad things are going to happen only to other people, never to themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they usually blame the idiot Californians. But believe me, ICE is not impressed with any of their reasons. When I was a teenager, I learned this both the hard and the easy way. I grew up in the D.C. area, and when I was 16, we had a huge snowstorm, the first real snowstorm we'd had in a few years, and we got easily 2 feet of snow, school was canceled, and in the D.C. area, when it snows, like if there's a fourth of an inch, everything shuts down, so 2 feet turns the place into a wasteland. And it was mid-morning, we'd had breakfast, I was enjoying the pretty snow and avoiding doing my homework, and my dad walks up to me and throws me the keys and says, hey, we're going to Home Depot to get some screws for a project. And I thought he was crazy, but he insisted that I needed to get out and it would be good for me to learn to drive in the snow when it wasn't really congested. So we piled into this itty-bitty, lightweight red Elantra that we had, and I tried to maneuver my way out of our subdivision. And it took us about, I don't know, 15 minutes to go the half a mile out, but we hit the main roads and they were deserted. So I started thinking, all right, I've got this. Driving in the snow isn't that bad. And I let my speed increase. And when the car had reached about that 35 miles per hour, Dad looked over and said calmly, great, now I want you to slam on the brakes. I yelled, are you crazy? We'll slide into a snowbank, because I was an awesome, calm, meek child like that. But he repeated, slam on the brakes. Someday, someone is going to do something dumb, and you're going to have to brake to avoid hitting them. You need to know what it's like to slide. It's okay, I'm right here, just keep steering. So I slammed on the brakes. And we fishtailed, and we spun for this terrifying 5 seconds before we slid into a stop right by a snowbank. It seemed like a huge panic to me, but I can recognize now, having driven in the snow for years, that it was really a pretty tame situation. And when I recovered and was about ready to throttle him, he explained that you're going to hit ice when you drive, and you can't anticipate it, and it only takes a square foot of ice to send you into a ditch. Because ice doesn't care how good a driver you are. It doesn't care if you've never had a speeding ticket. It doesn't care how confident you are. Because confidence doesn't give your tires more traction. You can't control the ice or the other drivers. So you have to learn to control yourself and balance speed and skill with risk. And then he told me to take a breath and do it again. So we drove the whole way to Home Depot in Fairfax, Virginia, with me speeding up and slamming on the brakes and sliding over and over again. And by the time we got home, a couple hours later, I knew how to drive in the snow. I knew how to feel when my car was slipping. I knew how to recognize when a car next to me was starting to slip and adjust myself before it became a problem. And that was a valuable skill in the DC area. It was an even more valuable skill when I went to college in northern Utah, where snow gets dumped. It was an even more valuable skill when I got trapped in a blizzard, freak out-of-season blizzard, driving from California to Utah by myself with a dog. It was an even bigger use when I got stuck in a blizzard with my newborn premature baby and was able to get us home safely in the snow while everyone else was sliding off the road. I learned, and I've been able to get farther in a safer way because of it. So why are we talking about snow and crisis management?
Driving in snow is a lot like dealing with a crisis because most people think they've got to react fast, but that's often not the case. What you often have to do is slow down, recognize what's going on, and know how to respond appropriately.
And it's the same mentality that causes people to drive like idiots in snow that causes people to destroy good businesses. And you've heard it described before as accidents are caused by the other person kept dodging until I had to hit them. They're denying responsibility for consequences. Now, we saw this play out last week with a local business. This particular business has been troubled for several years. It was a startup tech firm that was developing a product. They brought in some investors. Everything seemed fine at first until they started to notice problems, that the product wasn't being delivered on time, that the money had disappeared and no one really knew where it went. And eventually it came out that the original owners had taken investor money and spent it on hotel suites, on computers that they were using for their other businesses, that they had been lying about the product being done and it actually wasn't anywhere near completion, and they'd just been trying to dig themselves out. And they kept digging themselves deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole until their investors sued them. They spent a year trying to dodge, trying to find someone to buy their product. And right when they thought they were about to seal a deal, their potential buyer said, nope, never mind, no thanks. The entire business collapsed. And we sat in this meeting where the CEO and CTO tried to explain to their investors why the corporation was collapsing and try to get them to drop the lawsuit. They spent nearly 2 hours insisting the failure was caused by the investors filing the lawsuit and scaring away their buyers, that their buyer had been unethical and that was why it fell apart, and that the potential buyer just had too many politics and didn't understand the value of their product. There was never an acknowledgement of the CEO's mismanagement of funds that had forced the investors to file the lawsuit, or how the CTO had been unable to deliver the product on a timely basis, and maybe that scared off the investors. And there was certainly no acknowledgement of their irresponsible behaviors outside the business, like DUIs and potential embezzlement and other issues that scared away their potential buyers. It didn't matter how good their product was. In the last 2 years, they'd stolen money from the company, they'd lied about their product, they tried to bribe a board member, destroyed personal relationships, their reputations, and they'd personally brought on nearly six figures in personal debt, trying to cover up their mistakes. And they seemed really bewildered about why it didn't work. They kept insisting they'd really believed in their product. They believed they could sell it, and then that it would make everything right again, and that it was worth everything they'd done, because of course it would succeed, and they'd be able to make it all right. Their product was a slam dunk. It should have succeeded, but it wasn't good enough to make the consequences of their reckless behavior go away. They were just speeding through the snow, convinced that they were good enough, that they couldn't fail, and they hit ice. And when they ran into these problems, instead of pausing, pivoting, slowing down, when they saw other people sliding on the ice, they didn't slow down. They kept pushing forward, saying, "It's not going to happen to me." And the same pushing forward is what caused them to fail. They could have easily slowed down 2 years ago. They could have acknowledged there was problems with their product. They could have pivoted and adjusted what they were doing, but they didn't. They pushed forward, which is why driving slow is better than driving fast when you're trying to balance risk.
As they say in Florida, arrive alive. And driving slow sometimes is the only way to arrive alive.
Exactly. Speed is not a virtue, particularly when you're new and you aren't certain what the risks are. Hi, everyone. It's Meredith. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can get more crisis management and prevention tips and strategies for free at our website, www.me2-solutions.com. That's www.me2-solutions.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for ME2 Solutions, and you should find our profile. You can also find me on Twitter under my handle, The Quality Girl. Thanks for listening.
Copyright 2014 by Hutchison Solutions, LLC. All rights reserved. But now, seriously, folks, no part of this podcast may be reproduced in whole or part without our permission. But we'll be happy to give it to you. Just fire us an email, which you can find on our website. Thank you.